Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we are so thankful to be here, Lord, and you've given us a beautiful day to do it. And Father, we just pray that we don't know if the rapture will take place this spring, but I'm hoping it will. But Lord, we just believe that we're getting ready for it. We see the wars taking place. We see that just all these things taking place, and the condition is there. So Lord, we just pray you take us out of here. And now we just commit this service into thy hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated now. This morning I'm going to take a subject which, you know, actually, there's two ways to preach this. We can preach it like last week and do a little bit of fire and brimstone, or we can take it as a doting old grandfather. And I thought I probably would do less damage to the kids as a doting old grandfather, okay? So, mind you, everything I say here is from Brother Branham or from the Scripture, so take it to heart. Now, the other day, Brother Branham says, I was at Howard Johnson's, not this one, but one on the road, and I just sat back in amazement. And here come a little boy along with his mouth open, and he had dark hair here, and had combed it over this way and put a roller in it and curled it up around the top of his eyes, looking out of the top of his eyes, looking around. And if I've ever seen perversion, see, he wouldn't believe it. He could prove maybe that he was a male, but in his spirit, he's female. Isn't that what we got today, transgenderism? He don't know what side of the house he belongs on. That's right. How perverted. That's what Satan done. He perverts the nation. He perverts the church. He perverts the people. He is a deceiver and a perverter of the original truth. Now, I'm just going to stop and just say this. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world. You know what the word conform means? It means press into a mold. Be not pressed into a mold, like social media, all these things, all the media. Be not compressed into the mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transforming. Now, in the 1960s, they discovered something that wasn't around when Brother Brennan was talking about these things. But they discovered what's called neuroplasticity. You know what that means? Well, I found out when I had my stroke. If you do things over and over and over again, you build cells to replace the ones that were damaged. Well, in neuroplasticity, by doing things over, like Brother Vail would talk about habits. He said you replace a habit with a habit. All right? In other words, the focus on the Family Guy, I forget his name, but he would talk about neuroplasticity, in that you develop things that you do as a habit, and after 10 days, it becomes easier to do it. After 30 days, it becomes normal to do it. And after 66 days, it's just, you've always done it, okay? So that's why I like these quotes every day, because you're developing a habit to read, to read, to read, to read. Get in the Word, read, 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 okay? Well, what Brother Branham was discussing for us here about a little boy with a curl in his hair and stuff, that came because he was watching too much TV. You see, this is a 1950s Superman, all right? You guys see the curl on his forehead, all right? Well, out of the six Supermen, three of them had the curl, okay? Very feminine. And I would have put this on my thing, but I just didn't have time this morning to do it. But this one's a little bit less of a curl, okay? But that's being conformed to this world, okay? You don't want that. You want to be transformed, like Brother Brown said, word upon word upon word. That transforms you. We're looking to be transformed, to get out of here. We've got to start having a mindset that it's word, 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 okay? So Brother Brown says, God made a man and he made a woman, and he dressed them different. Did you hear that? He dressed them different. Now, I could show perverted pictures up here of women with men's, well, I got a few of them in here. Women dressed like men and men dressed like women. You'll see it. That's the transgenderism. And he meant for them to stay that way and to act that way. One is feminine and the other is masculine. He separated Adam in the Garden of Eden and did this, separated Eve from himself. Now, where's her bangs? He's talking about the guys. And she cuts her hair like this, and he tries to wear his like hers. I've got pictures of that. You see them. She wears his outside clothes, and he wears her inside clothes. That's shorts, okay? Now, that sounds sacrilegious, but I don't mean it that way. It's the absolute gospel truth. If you don't know it, then there's something wrong with you. You're either blind or never been on the streets. Go to Walmart sometime. I mean, I would say if Brother Bram was here, he'd probably say, stay away from Walmart because it's worse than Hollywood, okay? And she thinks and he thinks that's right. And they're getting along somewhere. Women say, well, it's so hot. Them old Apache Indians out yonder would make you ashamed of yourself. The more heat that they would get, the more clothes that they would put on, keeping the sun off of them. Or they make you sweat so that you can have an air conditioner as they walk, you know. See, they stand right out in the sun. You couldn't stand nothing. You'd blister and burn. But you see, it's what they call higher education. Modern science has produced this. Oh my. There she is naked in Laodicea, and she doesn't even know it. She was naked in Eden. See, the two kingdoms alike. One is in sin and death. The other is in life and righteousness. And there she was veiled with a holy veil, but they were both naked. They didn't know it. They didn't know nothing about it because they was veiled with God's Spirit. And here they're veiled with lust, and they look at one another. See, Adam could look at Eve and didn't know that she was naked. But with this lust veil, she doesn't realize she's naked, but she does it under this lust veil to make men look at her. Why would you want a bunch of men looking at you? Then you know what? Then you set yourself up to be robbed of your virtue. All right? A bunch of animals out there. But it's the only thing that she can do. You don't believe that, but you do it anyhow. And men look. And he found out you got so much attraction till he come around and put some of your clothes on himself. Why do you think men dress like women? They want to be admired. They want to be looked at. Oh, isn't that nice? Perverted. Oh, what a perversion, Brother Bram says. What an age, what time that we're, how deceitful it is. Oh, how these things, and don't know it. A perfect perverted spirit is in the man. He's veiled from the lust of Satan, and the woman is too. Now, my granddaughter and I were watching something the other day about how the church, the first organized church was Roman church. And then Luther split off of Rome, and they talked about what Luther believed. Then they said Wesley broke off from Luther, and they talked about what Wesley believed. Then they talked about the Presbyterians believed in Calvinism, and the Baptists believed in choice. And they talked about the differences. In fact, at the time, the Presbyterians didn't even believe that Baptists were Christian because they didn't understand that if you weren't in God, then you have no place, okay? And Ella said, well, you know, it's interesting because I can see the difference between even the two pastors over at the school that she goes to. The older one, he's about my age. You know, back then the Baptists believed you know, you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't go with other, you don't chew, and you don't go with anyone who do. And then they didn't believe in going to movies and things like that. But the younger ones, they believe in anything. And it tells in their grandchildren, or in their children. And they're just no different than the kids in the public schools, okay? So it was interesting that, you know, as 12 years old, she had that foresight, that understanding to see the difference happening there. And I think all you kids ought to learn that. You know, you really need to be discerning in what you do, all right? But Brother Brown says, what a perversion, what an age, what a time, how deceitful it is, all these things, and don't even know it. A perfect perverted spirit is in the man. He's veiled from the lust of Satan, and the woman is too. It is the satanic spirit of the great society. Remember, Johnson started the great society. See, they don't know it, but they're in organizations. Women with shorts on belongs to an organization. Men dressed like that is on an organization. You hear that? Shorts? All right. I mean, I quit playing soccer because you couldn't play without wearing shorts. I said, I'm not going to do it. The goalies could play, wear pants, so I said, I'll play goalie. All right? But I'll give you the abbreviation of it, BSS, Big Sister Society. So that's what they belong to. Come out there and with a big sissy society with them, little old pants on, big old naughty looking, dirty looking things. And men now, you may differ with me in this, but that's the truth. You have been perverted and you don't even know it. You don't act like a man no more. Coming so soft. Now this is 50 years ago. Actually, it's more than that, 60 years ago. 60 years ago, the prophet saw this coming. Coming so soft, and they soon be nothing to them anymore. Men and women too. They are a society. There's an organization. Why? John next door wore shorts, so why can't I? Well, this sister in the church, you know, wears these high heels, or her skirt split, so why can't I? Well, either you're a son of God or you're a son of the devil, okay? Luella wants me to wear them because John wore them next door. And, well, if Susie Jane can wear them, so can Martha Jane wear them, or Susie Lou, or whoever, or ever who her name is. See, it's a society. It's an organization. You spiritually belong to it, and you don't even know it. You've been conformed to your peer pressure at school. You've been pressed into and molded into what you're not. Women today wearing rings in their nose like a pig. They're compressed into a pig and they don't even know it. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just telling you what's going on so you can see it. And if that's so and we see it so are you blinded. You're blinded to the denominations that Satan has twisted you into. And it's a perversion of God's original word and his kingdom and his plan for his children. Satan has twisted men and women into these things, and they don't know it. It's perverted. No longer, am I yelling too much? I've got to act more like a doting old grandfather, sorry. No longer a son of God, bangs hanging down in his face. I'll show you three pictures. And a pair of shorts on tromping down the street. And like I said, everybody was, we got to be a Superman. I remember as a kid myself, I was conformed to that. I ran around my blue pajamas with a pair of red shorts on and my mother's nursing cape. I thought I was Superman. I even tried to jump off a hill that was 12 feet high. You know, that's how, like Brother Bram said, I used to go out and live in a tree like Tarzan. It's what the world is pushing you into. They're conforming you, molding you. It's like silly putty. Everybody know what silly putty is? No. You don't? You do too. All right. No longer a son of God. Bangs hanging down in their face and a pair of shorts on, tromping down the street. A son of God, a deacon in the church, a pastor in the pulpit. No, that ain't a son of God. Now, I put a picture up here. I couldn't cut out this part. He says, I believe clothes shouldn't be gendered. They are material. And so a man is wearing a dress and a purse. I go to Costco and I see at least two or three guys wearing a kilt, and you wonder what they even wear that kilt for. Attention. Notice this picture up here. Ain't that what the people look like today, the young guys? Ring in their ear, hair down their face, whatever they got on their eyebrows. He never come through God's thinking filter, and he wouldn't have then, he wouldn't have them women's clothes on. He sure wouldn't. Neither should she have the man's clothes on. See, it's not a son of God. It's a son of Satan. Ooh, that's tough, kids. It's tough. And a daughter of Satan, it's a hard thing to say. See the women here dressed up like men? That's normal today. We are living in Satan's Eden, the height of Satan's kingdom, and we're living in it. Remember Brother Branham? He was in JCPenney, and he saw those women coming up and going, you know, and they all had mascara, big blue eyes and stuff like that. And I remember talking to a guy at work one time. He said, yeah, my grandpa used to say that when they got that blue eye, he said, God didn't make you women to look like chickens with blue eyes. He made you to look like children of God. Satan has succeeded in perverting and taking over this world. If you think it's normal, you're perverted. I'm sorry. And making it his kingdom that men was put on free moral agency to choose for themselves what kind of a life they desired, that shows what's in your heart. If your heart is otherwise, pray to God that he change it. Your voice, you know what? Your actions speak so loud it drowns out your voice. Let me go to a man and say, we're all Christians, we belong to church, and stripteases hanging all over his office. I remember going into a man's house. He was a deacon in the church, and he had nudes up in his house. Nudes. And I said, what in the world are you doing with that? Well, my daughter drew them. That's perverted. It wouldn't make no difference what he's told me. I know better, so would you. Let a woman say that she's a Christian with short hair, you know better than that. And yet this woman here is a preacher. I forget her name, but she's got makeup on her eyes, on her mouth. She got things hanging from her ears. And this woman thinks she's a minister, but now she's doubly damned, because she's wearing that stuff and she's professing to be a Christian and a preacher. Yes, sir. Let her say she's a Christian wearing pants and makeup and shorts and say she's a Christian. You know better than that. The Word of God teaches you better than that. In Deuteronomy 22 and 5, it says, a woman should not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do such are an abomination unto the Lord. And yet we had in the cabinet of the United States two men that wore dresses and lipstick and bald head. But lipstick, one of them got caught stealing stuff out of somebody else's luggage in the airport, finally got fired. Yeah, it took something like that. And the Bible says they're an abomination to the Lord. The Word says she can't do it and be a Christian. She is even dishonorable in everything. How is God going to put a dishonorable thing in his kingdom? No, sir. Not at all. No, sir. Their selves, it shows that's their desire. Now, I'm going to say this. If you choose to go after the world, you're not going in a rapture. All right? You're not going in the rapture. You'll be here for the destruction. All right? So you choose you this day whom you will serve, either God or the devil. Now, 1 Corinthians 11:4 says, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his hair. That's wrong hair. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all as one, as if she were shorn. In other words, if you're going to cut your hair, shave it off. Again, I'm sorry, I've got to go back to my grandfather again. Although William knows that sometimes I sound like I'm preaching, right? Okay. But if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaven, it's a shame. You know, in the old days, I'm talking about not even 100 years ago, if a woman was found as a prostitute or ill-gotten woman, they shaved her head. You know, that was a sign of shame. Today they, you know, look, I can do it because I'm a preacher and I'm a man, and this is normal. But a woman with a shaved head is either on chemotherapy or she's insane. All right? But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought to cover his head, for as much as he is the image, a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is in the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Power on his head. Yeah, like when God told Samson to grow his out for that power. It signified the power, okay? You women all have more power than we men do. You got it on your head, okay? For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head as because of the angels. Nevertheless, or the messengers, okay? Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as a woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourself. Is it comely? That means normal. That a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Now, I've never felt the need to preach a clothesline religion. I believe that when you come to this word, you begin to change. The Holy Spirit changes you. So I'm not preaching at you. I'm just saying some of these younger people need to understand the scriptures because apparently they don't, okay? But in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Two things he says here. Now the scripture plainly states that there are two things that will keep you out of the kingdom of God. Can anyone tell me what the scripture says these two things are? Just read it for yourself. Okay, the two things that will keep you out are fussing, where you refuse to make peace with one another, and not having holiness in your life. Because if either one is missing, you won't be there because our prophet said so. Always remember, you lack peace and you fuss. And you lack holiness and you sin. And without either peace or holiness, you cannot see God. From his sermon on adoption, Brother Branham said, adoption and placing of sons, he said, thus saith the Lord, it'll take perfect love to put you in that place, for that's all there was there. In other words, having such peace in your heart, no matter what they do, you can still love them. You can still show love. No matter how much religious demonstrations, how many good deeds you do or have done, or whatever you've done, that won't count nothing on that day. It'll take perfect love. So whatever you do, lay everything aside, or lay aside everything else until you just are so filled with the love of God till you can love those who hate you. I'm just, as I said this morning, and my whole makeup is grace. A lot of people say, now you scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. Yeah, you do something for me and I'll do something for you. That's not grace. Grace is, if your back is itching, I'll scratch it anyhow. Whether you scratch mine or not, you slap me on the face and say, my back needs itching, it needs itching, and I'll scratch it. See? That's it. Do something. I don't believe in works. I believe that works is love. So if you're scratching your wife's back, that's because you love her. She might think it's because she has an itch, but it's because you love her, or you wouldn't do it. All right? I'm not saying you, and I'm just saying as a man, okay? And just remember, 1 John 4:18, there is no love in fear, or no fear in love, excuse me. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath a torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Well, I fear that if I don't do what my friends are doing, I'm going to be despised. So what? Do you really need them? Come on. I learned to be a loner. I learned to be a loner. And you'll find you become a loner. I can look at all the people in the world. There's about several hundred that are in their families that are tuning in, and everyone has the same situation. They're all alone where they're at. They don't have the fellowship that you have. They're alone. I can think of Sister Nisha in UK. I can think of Sister Jean, and she's a different part of UK. I can think of the brothers in Norway. They're all hundreds of miles apart. I can think of the people in Australia and different places. They're all hundreds of miles apart. Then we got one here in Africa and one over here in another part of Africa, hundreds of miles, thousands of miles apart. In Brazil and different places, they're all alone. And that's God's plan. He wants you to walk alone so that you're walking with Him. If you walk in the light as He is in the light, it brings you together. And so we've got them coming together through the media of streaming. And in our three-part series, Bound by Fear and Set Free by Love, which we did not too long ago, last month we emphasized that all the wars, all the fussing, and the trials come from fear. And fear is not from God, it's from the devil. The scripture says in 2 Timothy 1:7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So where'd it come from? It came from the devil. But of power and of love and of a sound mind, self-control. So you see, you do not have peace and holiness because you have fear. You are afraid of what others think, and it is a devil that controls you that way. I don't care what other people think. I don't care what you think. I mean, I love you, but you're not going to change my mind unless you can give me scripture for it, because my absolute is the word of God. All right? Doesn't mean I don't love you, but I love the word more. So you see, you do not have peace and holiness because you have fear, okay? And remember, perfect love casts out fear. And you say, well, I didn't mean to live worldly. The devil made me do it. It's like Skip Wilson. If you remember Skip Wilson back in the 70s, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it. You did it because you like it. Like a pervert came here from Florida one time and he became part of the church, but he was still doing perverted things. And I asked him, I said, well, Brother Bill said, why don't you ask him if he liked it? So I asked him, I said, do you like to do those things? Oh, yeah. I said, then you're not born again. You're not born again. Remember, perfect love casts out fear, and you say, well, the devil made me do it. But he told us God gives us a sound mind and disciplined mind, and you don't have to accept fear. You accept fear because you would rather fear and be approved of men than reject fear and be approved of God. Like I was talking to Sister Nisha, you know. The doctors over here are based on money, how much money we can make. You know, if we amputate, we make more money. We buy our Ferrari. I remember that. That happened. You remember that, Peter? The guy, the doctor that was on the phone ordering his Ferrari while he's amputating the wrong leg? Yeah. Yeah, they do that. And she goes, well, the doctors don't do that here. I said, how many of them ran after the COVID thing and the jab? He goes, yeah, you're right. You're right. Peer pressure. They did it because the media said so. How many are conformed, molded into that little pig because the media says so? You're not a human, you're a pig. You're a transhuman, all right? Because why? Because somebody on television said, you're a pig, or you're transformed. Years ago, there was a man that came to this church. Yeah, I've already talked about that, all right? So, I asked him, I said, do you enjoy? He said, yes. Then I told him he was not no longer welcome in our assembly. He went out and immediately wrote letters to brothers and Brother Vail and said, I'm a dictator. Just like serpent seed. You correct them by the word and they rebel and try to get other brothers against you. They have a spirit of discrepancy, discrepant from the word. And they are backbiters as well. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company. Ooh, boy. Here's one that's going to go over. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, that means greedy, or an idolater, loving money more than loving God, or a railer, always talking about people, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one not even to eat. Don't even sit down and eat. And I told the man, I said, you're not welcome to eat with us. You're influencing the young boys in this church. Not only are you supposed to fellowship, not only are you not supposed to fellowship or even eat meat with such a person, but they will never even be allowed to enter heaven. Think about that. You're making friends with the world and they're not going where you're supposed to be going. That's a short friendship, I think. God put up a wall around the New Jerusalem to keep out all who are not invited to live in there. 1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That is, those who are unrightly wise. Be not deceived, neither fornication, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. That's a lot of people. Notice idolatry and adultery are considered by God to be the same. Nor effeminate. You mean a transgender will never inherit the kingdom of God? That's right. You won't see it over there. Isn't that wonderful? I can say, hail, hallelujah. Peter and them would say, a transgender, what's that? They never heard of such back in that day. Nor effeminate, that's the girly man. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind, like all these piercing their ears and piercing their nose and piercing. Listen, they pierce private parts, okay? That's all your sodomites and transvestites, which are nothing but lesbians and homosexuals in disguise. That's all a transvestite is a homosexual. I hope you can see why being at peace with others and living in pure holiness are so important, that without them you cannot even see God. Don't tell me any of these people that are doing such are even Christian. Yet they claim, well, I pray to God, I go to church. So what? So is the devil. That is why the Apostle Paul commanded men in 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And Ephesians 5:27, that you might present to him a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God wants to see a holy church. And also in Ephesians 1:4, and notice we're washed by the washing of the word, okay? Now Paul spoke in Ephesians 1:4 how God would see us at the end time, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in his presence, in love. Brother Bram described this and he said, God saw your very stature, your very image in his mind. That's why you had to make sure your parents met and your parents' parents met all the way back to the Garden of Eden. All right? God saw it all. He knew every time a gnat would blink his eyes. So we then look to Satan's Eden, where Brother Branham said, you can't get a dove to eat with a buzzard. Not at all. A dove don't have any gall. He can't eat that old carrion. If he took a bite, it wouldn't kill him. It would kill him. And he knows it. But a buzzard can eat most anything that he wants to. A man of God don't go to the bar and sit down with the bar guys and have a drink. He can't do it. See? But the buzzard's got plenty of gall. So then you find out that's the way it is. It is with the world today. Same thing. They're naked, blind, and don't even know it. Satan did it by the woman's lust for knowledge, for sex, which she chose by her own choosing. Now, this is all from Satan's Eden, okay, beginning at paragraph 73. So whether you live holy or not, it comes by your own choosing. You will have no one to blame but yourself if you're found not to be holy. But notice, it was Eve that led Adam to the wrong. And it was a woman that took off her clothes before her Adam took off his. See, it's a woman always. It's always been. It always is the same. He is telling you, when it comes to living filthy and unholy, it is a woman that is to blame. Notice, it all started with the woman. Mascara and eyelash stuff and everything else. And then the men followed suit. They're a bunch of followers. All right? Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7:26, and I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. And that's why I praise you women that are godly. You're living godly, you're acting godly, you're making the right choices, you're choosing God over the world. In other words, the devil uses the woman to bring down men, and they are taught by society from a young age to do so. Little girls, 3 years old, it's not them choosing to pierce their ears, it's their mother choosing to pierce their ears. Now, I'm not talking about your godly sisters. I'm talking about those women who are led by society to do so. It's as if you are a different species from them. You are God's seed, and you're not serpent seed. He continued, behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One woman amongst a thousand have I found, but a woman amongst all those have I not found. So Brother Branham goes on to say, it's a church that leads the man astray. It's a church, see, that leads the men that wants to be a son of God. It's a woman, the church, not the Bible, God, for the Bible is man. Oh, yeah. The Word was made flesh and he was a man, see? The Bible is man. The church is woman. See, it isn't the church, it isn't the Bible that leads the man astray. It's a church that leads him astray. It's a church he went naked with, not the Bible, see? No, indeed, the Bible tells him that he's naked. Yes, sir. Now notice, how by sex or desire of sex, she lusted for knowledge to know what was this and how whether this fruit was good or not. And she did it. So with this in mind, we want to examine this morning what God has to say about holiness and what it is not. From the flashing red light, Brother Branham said, when Isaiah, he talked about how the immorals of women would get in the last days and how there'd be so much clothes that they'd have to have and how they'd have to have their hair set and everything like that. Now listen, it is not the man who has trouble with clothes. He doesn't look over another man's clothing and say, well, look at his belt and his tie and look at his shoes. Peter, I've never done that to you. I think you'd hit me if I did. A man could care less what another man wears. But the women, just let another woman dress a little bit different or wear socks. Oh my. Remember how back in the old days, women wore socks? And they wore penny loafers. Remember those days? You wouldn't find them. Why? they're dressing naked before. I'm not saying you are, but I'm just saying they've been taught by, they've been molded by society. That's not a thing to do. That's not stylish. You mean that's not the devil's style, okay? Let another woman dress a little bit different, wear socks or even sneakers. Remember wearing sneakers? And long dress, and she gets that eye of every sister. Like Pavlov said, put a red dot on a chicken and every other chicken will peck it to death just because they are different. Now, sisters, admit your guilt, please. Can you say, I admit my guilt, I've been there, I'm no longer there? Okay. You look at each other when it is wrong, and Jesus said, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So what is righteous judgment? It's judging by the word. You see a picture of women here, and they're all wearing these flowing garbs and everything else. And why are they wearing it? It's not even easy to have a cape following you. I mean, Superman, he found that out. All right? That's why Spider-Man don't wear one. Okay? It's easier to get around without one. Okay? So, Brother Ramseth, the Bible speaks, Isaiah 3, how she'd walk with high-heeled shoes on. That's what the Bible says. Tinkling her feet as she went along. That's, remember when you were a kid, I was in seventh grade, and some of these boys, I'd hear them click, 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 click as they walked along. They said, what do you got? Well, I put these little nails in the bottom of my shoes so I could sound like a tap dancer. Okay? What do the women do? They put a little spike up the middle of that 7-inch spike that they have on. They put a little nail in the bottom so they could clink, clink, clink. Tinkling her feet as she went along, then she'd roll down her stockings. Yeah, that's what they've done. They've rolled them down to put them inside their shoes, okay? And the things she would do. And the many changeable apparel and stuff like that. That's what the Bible says. I'm quoting Scripture. In fact, they don't even wear stockings anymore. Everything is sheer, like they do not care that they have a covering or not. Used to be a woman would wear a dress, and if she was poorer, she wore a skirt and a blouse. Brother Brown goes on to say, quoting Scripture, and said that all will be taken away from her, and she shall stink and stink from immoral. Like she gets syphilis and gonorrhea and chancres and this and that. It stinks. I'm not yelling at you. I'm just emphasizing the word, okay? And said, seven means many, will grab one man and said, we'll do our own work. Let us just take your name and take away our reproach. What's the woman's movement about? Take away our reproach. We don't want to stay home with children anymore. We want to get out there and mingle with the men. And look how women used to be called lady this and lady that. But now because of women's rights, they want to be called by men's titles like councilman or policeman or fireman or even fighting men. Or in the Air Force, they're called wing men. You see? And from a white paper from the chiropractic medicine, it says, wearing high-heeled shoes significantly alters spinal alignment and posture, leading to a cascade of biomechanical changes that can contribute to musculoskeletal pain and dysfunction. So wearing the high heels, they wonder why my back aches. When high heels are worn, the body's center of mass shifts forward. In other words, it throws your breast out, forcing the lower back to arch more than usual to maintain balance. So it throws you forward, throws your buttocks back, looking like a dog in heat. This lowering back side, your buttocks, counterbalances your breast sticking out and throws your buttocks up and pushes it back to balance your weight, like dogs do when they are in heat. This results in an increased anterior pelvic tilt. Now, I'm reading from the chiropractic manual, where the top of the pelvis tips forward, which in turn exaggerates the normal inward curve of the lumbar spine. In other words, it throws your buttocks up, a condition known as hyperlordosis. I should say it's probably pronounced hyperlordosis. Excuse me. This altered position places excessive pain on the lumbar spine, increasing pressure on the intervertebral disc, and potentially leading to decompression, herniation, and irritation of the sciatic nerve, which can cause pain, tingling, and numbness radiating down the leg. The body's compensatory mechanism extends beyond the lower back. To counterbalance the forward shift, the body leans forward, and the cervical spine, the neck, must also adjust. So you're looking up. So now you got a crook in your neck, leading to increased activation of the paraspinal muscles in both the cervical and the lumbar region. Thus, the scripture says they walk with wanton necks. This heightened muscle activity, particularly in the erector spinae and paraspinalis cervicus, that's the muscles on each side of the spinal column right above the gluteus muscles, can result in muscle fatigue, overuse, and chronic discomfort, especially with prolonged or frequent wear. The altered gait and posture can also contribute to joint stress in hips and knees, potentially leading to conditions like spondylolisthesis. I don't know if I got that right, but where a vertebrae slips out of place, an increased risk of arthritis in those joints. So why would anyone choose to wear high heels? Only because they are possessed to do so. They have listened to the fashion of men rather than the fashions of God. Did you know that most fashions of women, you know where their designers are? Men. Yeah. Let's design some clothes that can make men lust after the women. And the women say, oh, goody, goody, goody. And they don't realize they're going to hell because of it. And let's face it, most clothing and shoes are designed by men for women. Men. Perverts. You know, the sissy men that have little locks in their hair and you know, they're all sissies. I've never seen one male designer who wasn't a pervert and wanted to be a woman. Isaiah 3:16 says, moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks, and you know that the taking of selfies and you can't walk with your head down and wearing high heel shoes, especially those 6-inch spikes, they throw your weight forward and you would fall over. But notice, they're taking selfies. You see the picture there. And they wear all kinds of garb to attract them to the face, and yet the face looks like some type of werewolf. And wanton eyes. You say, well, what's a wanton eye? They highlight their eyes. Why would they do that? And they blink incessantly like they're flirting. That's what wanton means. Flirtatious eyes. I'm surprised they don't stick together. Walking and mincing. Short steps is trying not to trip. And they go and making a tinkling with their feet. The little nails on the bottom of their spikes. Can you imagine? I know older people walk with, they take shorter steps, but can you imagine them putting on spikes on their on the bottom of their soles, nails? They would slip all over. But Isaiah 3:18, in that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet, their ankle ornaments, and their cowls, their hair interweaved with their wigs, and their round tires like the moon. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers. You mean a woman's wearing a muffler? I thought cars did. Yeah. The bonnet and the ornament of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings. They got them all. The rings and nose jewels. the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples. And I don't know what that is. I should have looked it up. And the crisping pins. Brother Bam talked about those hairpins for curling. The glasses and the fine liniment and the hoods and the veils. You know, put their hair up in curlers. And you look at how they're veiled. You don't want you to see their face. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell, there shall be a stink. Like I heard one woman, she was Bill Clinton's lover. And she said, Hillary Clinton, when Bill showed up with her the first time, she said, she stunk so bad I couldn't hardly breathe. I've been around women that way in the workplace, and I tell you what, it's just filthy. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of a well-set hair, baldness. Yeah, you know, this woman here in the middle, she's, look at her bald head. You know why she did that? Because she had changed, she had made it orange, and then she realized, oh, Trump has orange hair, so I'm going to shave it all off. Start from nothing. And instead of a stomacher, a girding of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. They try to fall by the sword. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she is being desolate. And she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. Now, I like the Message translation. It says, God says Zion women are stuck up. Boy, isn't that funny? Prancing around in their high heels. Can you imagine a man wearing high heels? Making eyes at all the men in the street, swinging their hips, tossing their hair, gaudy and garish in cheap jewelry. The master will fix it so those Zion women will all turn bald. Hallelujah. And they are. We're seeing it before our eyes, the word of God fulfilling. Scabby, bald-headed women. Wow. The master will do it. The time is coming when the master will strip them of their fancy baubles, the dangling earrings, anklets and bracelets, combs and mirrors and silk scarves, diamond brooches and pearl necklaces, the rings on their fingers and the rings on their toes. I've seen that. I've seen women with rings on their toes. What in the world are you wearing rings on your toes for? I guess they couldn't fit it in their nose. Okay? The latest fashion in hats, exotic perfumes and aphrodisiac gowns and capes, all the world's finest in fabrics and design. Look at the picture of the woman with her toes. She got rings, three rings on her toes and four. Woman with a big hat on, like Melania Trump, she always wears a hat, you know, big hat. Instead of wearing seductive scents, these women are going to smell like rotting cabbages. Now that's a very good translation, okay? Instead of modeling flowing gowns, they'll be sporting rags. Yeah, look at the picture of women here. This is what they wear today. It's a rag. This one here, looks like she's wearing a rag. Instead of their stylish hairdos, scruffy heads, like this one here. You know what? She's a House of Representatives person. I don't remember which state she's from, out east someplace. But she looks insane. Purple hair, green glasses. I won't say nothing about her mug. Instead of beauty marks, scabs and scars. That's what she looks like, full of scabs and scars. Your finest fighting men will be killed. Your soldiers left dead on the battlefield. The entrance gate to Zion will be clotted with people mourning their dead. A city stooped under the weight of her loss, brought to her knees by her sorrows. And 1 Corinthians 11:13 says, judging yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Look at the man wearing long hair. Look at the woman wearing short hair. She got his hairdo and he's got her hairdo. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for her for a covering. I had a young man come to church years ago, maybe 30 years ago. And he had hair down to his back. And he came and he really enjoyed the word, you know. And I said, after about a month, I took him aside and said, you know, I think you should get a haircut. You know what he did? He loved his hair more than he loved the word. And he left church. Yeah. He wasn't willing to do to live like God wants him to live. He was wanting to have his long hair. But if a woman have long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But today the men want long hair and the women want short haircuts. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now, Deuteronomy 22:5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do such are an abomination unto the Lord. And yet we see men dressed like women and women dressed like men. And it's everywhere. For sirs, you know, we used to call them a butch. That's because their hair is a butch. Oh, that's offensive. No, it's not. It's true. Why do you wear your hair like a butch if you don't want to be called a butch? All right? Instead of tonight, of people at the church on their knees praying, thanking God for the real Christmas gift, high-heeled shoes and painted faces and frock-tailed coats and goblets of whiskey will be tipped to one another. And tens of thousands times thousands of dollars worth of whiskey and cigarettes will be distributed tonight. When thousands of poor, little, hungry children lay without a bite to eat, or a place to lay their head. Isn't that pitiful? What they've done with Christmas? From Gabriel's instruction to Daniel, he said, and I understand that there will become scoffers in the last days, and I wonder that there will be a nation against nation in the last days. I understand that there will be a tidal wave in the last days. I understand that there will be a fearful sight like flying saucers in the heavens, mysterious sights, and men's hearts will be failing for fear. There'll be a perplexity of time and a distress among the people. You know, not only do we have flying saucers, but we get flying cars. Yeah, you know that? You can buy one for about $100,000. Little vehicle, the wings pop out, you can fly. I read that they'll all go into organization and denomination and have a confederation in the last days. I understand that the women will bob off their hair in the last days. Have they done it? I understand they'll wear short clothes and walk in high-heeled shoes, tinkling as they go in the last days. Have they done it? I understand that morale will be very low in the last days. Nobody wants to vote anymore because it's so crooked. I understand that preachers will be false shepherds in the last days. They are by the flockful. Yeah, get it, flockful. That'll compromise and will not feed the people the word of God, but will go after creeds and things instead. But I understand there'll be a voice come in the last days, crying out of the wilderness, calling the people back to the original message, back to the things of God. I understand by the books that these things will take place. And from painted face Jezebel. Now it ain't paint and scissors that cuts your hair that bothers you. Is that spirit in you that makes you get it? That's what it is. Max Factor could make all of it if he wanted to and lay it over there. And if you was a Christian, you'd never touch it. If this nation was Christian, Max Factor would be broke. I mean, if you was baptized with the Holy Ghost and living where you ought to live, that's right, and your pastor preached the truth and let you know about it, you wouldn't even care a bit. How could you sell old button-down shoes, button shoes down on the street today, them high laced-up shoes, which have got more leather in them than a dozen pairs of these little things that you pay $25 for? Well, that's cheap for a shoe today. A little strap across the toe and a big old red painted toenail sticking out of it, like that, and the heels flopping around through the rain, and you go down the street like that, that's right. That's right. But you couldn't sell that old fashioned shoe because you don't want it. You don't seeing Martha Susanna out yonder wearing such other kind. See, you want to dress like her. You don't want that dress that hangs loose. You want that ones like you're poured into it because that you've seen Susie on the television and the radio in the magazine. The devil putting all the stuff around, young kids drinking beer, Ortels and 92 and Schlitz, and I don't even think Ortels around anymore, and this kind of stuff, I never heard of it myself. That's a lie. And nothing like, and but turns young men and women to batty-eyed wretches to drink that stuff. It's the devil. It fills the insane institution. They'll have ads with beautiful young women drinking beer, but they don't show them 5 years later when they're old, fat, and ugly. Their bags under their faces from all the what we call inflammation that they have. It fills the prostitute houses. It does everything else. It breaks up homes. It causes rape and murder and everything else. And cigarette poisons the mind. It causes cancer. And the medical association even decent enough to place it out, and you continually smoke that devil weed. Now, I remember a place, and I remember talking about it years ago, 20-some years ago, in Wisconsin. There was a woman that showed up, and she was accusing some man of rape. And she was dressed in some type of hottie clothes, you know, miniskirt. And the judge threw the case out. He said, if you're going to dress that way, expect it. All right, then he got barred, you know, banned from the bench for saying that. But that's old-fashioned. All right? That's it. It's wrong. Get away from it. Christians, get filled with God. Yes, sir. From north and up. Now look here. Therefore, the man that's born of the Spirit of God, see, here is the outside flesh. Now, I speak with a mixed multitude, but I speak as your pastor, as your brother. Here's the flesh. It's weak. It's bound to a little lady walks down the street, and some young man just in his young age, when he's 17, 18, 20 years old, 25, 30, walks around there. And this young lady comes twisting every form of her body, walking with a pair of high heel shoes on, her dress stuck all out in front and back, and dresses that high above her knees, or a pair of shorts on. And you know the Bible said she'd act like that. And you know the Bible said that that's the way she'd act. How she'd be so filthy. Excuse me. From does God change his mind? God said, come here, Moses. Come here. Come up here on top. You've been a faithful servant. Like the women with the high heel shoes, you've climbed. See, look over yonder. See the promised land, O Lord, but you're not going over. You took my permissive will down here at the rock. You glorified yourself, see, and not me. You sanctified yourself. You didn't sanctify me. You didn't keep my original word, what I told you to do. Yet the waters did come. You can lay hands on the sick and they recover and can prophesy and speak in tongues. But the thing is, keep his original word. God don't change his mind, friend. You got to keep his commission, his will. And from flashing red light, when Isaiah 5, he talked about those immorals of the women would get in the last days, and how there'd be so much clothes that they'd have to have, and how they'd have to have their hair set and everything like that. The Bible speaks that, Isaiah 5, how she'd walk with high-heeled shoes and tinkling her feet as she went along. Then she'd roll down her stockings and the things she would do, the many changeable sets of apparels and stuff like that, and said, that will be taken away from her, and she shall sit and stink from immoral. And said, even seven women will grab hold of one man and said, we'll do our own work. Let us just take your name and take away our reproach. Again, presuming, he said, Daniel, they presume there, down in, they presume it'd be all right. Take God's holy vessels and drink out of them. They presumed it was all right to laugh at people that had the Holy Ghost, and it was all right to make fun of them. The Bible said it's better for you that a millstone, that's, everybody seen a millstone? They weigh thousands of pounds, the big ones. It'd be better for you that a millstone was hanged on your neck and drowned into the depths of the sea than even to offend one of the least of these, my little ones. And yet your friends offend you every day if you got the Holy Ghost. Brother, I see these people walking through the streets, these stretched out, wanton necks, heels on about so high, women pushed out in front and out in the back and around like this. And some women said to me, a Pentecostal woman said, wearing these little bitty skirts, you know, just about halfway down their knees, said, why, Brother Bram said, that's the only kind that they make. They make sewing machines and sell goods, don't they? See, that old dirty spirit is in you. Why would a Pentecostal woman want to act like that? She's not Pentecost. She's just got the name of Pentecost. I better get away from that right quick. Turn the page, okay? In other words, he went reverted to his doting old grandfather, okay? Listen, there was a big-name preacher in this message. His wife wore spikes. And they happened to visit Brother Vail. And they said, How high can a woman's spikes be? And Brother Vail put his hand on the table and said, that high. In other words, that high. That high. You know what she did? She went to another man's church and they were talking. She said, oh, Brother Vail told me that high. She flipped her hand. One word off is Satan's kingdom. For marriage of the Lamb. Like Esther, the hidden man in the heart, the hidden man, the meekness and gentleness of the Spirit of God in the human heart, not the glory and class of the world. I've always said the world shines, the gospel glows. It's a million miles apart. Hollywood shines, the Church of Christ glows with loveliness and soft and sweet, kind. That's right. Esther didn't want to adorn herself with all the modern apparel of the world. That wouldn't look like a king's wife. And do we wanting to be like the world, act like the world, would that look like a holy man's wife? We as the Church of the Living God adorn ourselves with the things of the world and then look like a holy man's wife? Would you look natural if you've seen a man today that's supposed to be a holy man and here comes his wife down like the first lady? One of those great big hairdos out like this and red stuff on one side and green stuff on the other side and looking like she's been hit in the mouth with a paintbrush and all the, that's great. And all these things, all these kind of things like that. Have you ever seen a parade of, they've got pictures, parade of a bunch of transvestites, men trying to look like women, and they've got paint, they look like clowns. They got orange hair or purple hair, red, like Brother Brown said, green on one side, red on the other side, you know, a big you know, they make their lips go way up to here with purple stuff or red stuff, and they're ugly. They're insane looking, and yet they think that they're lovely. Ugh. For the seed shall possess the gates. A woman might be as ugly as all get out. She might be big, fat, little, skinny, black-headed, brown-eyed, blue-eyed, gray-haired, or gray-eyed, one way or another. But if that woman is clean lady, there ain't a man in the country but what ought to take off his hat to them, if he's got any an ounce of man in him. That's right. Because she produced what she is, and men appreciate it. So will God appreciate a man that'll be what he is, or a man that professes Christianity. Let's be a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, with the Word of God, or forget about it. That's right. Because otherwise you become a hypocrisy and living a different life. And people will see you run out here to the dances and smoking and things like that and claiming to be a Christian. Then, see, you put a stumbling block in other ways. See the woman, sometimes how they cut their hair and dress and act like these little old dresses on, look like a skinned down wiener or something. And going out there in the street, walking around with heels on that high and mincing down the street, is that Pentecostal? Then the other church says they claim that they've got something, but they haven't got it. Remember the vision Brother Branham had of the churches around the world were filthy and a Miss America church, she was naked and holding up a newspaper in front of her. Remember that? But then he heard the bride. And she was good, godly, long dressed, long hair. She looked like a lady. All right. So we celebrate Lincoln's birthday. We celebrate Washington's birthday. And if you was down deep in the South, we would celebrate Lee's birthday or Jackson. Their birthday is a celebration, but the birthday of Christ, I believe, should be a day of consecration and worship. Instead of tonight, of people at church on their knees praying, thanking God for a real Christmas gift, high-heeled shoes and painted faces and frock-tailed coats and goblets of whiskey will be tipped to one another and tens of thousand times thousands of worth of whiskey and cigarettes. And cigarettes will be distributed tonight when thousands of poor, little, hungry children lay without food. So, you know, that's America. From Christianity versus idolatry, You know where you got Christmas? Christ was born in April. But what do? The solar system is slowing up now as it gets away, each day getting a little longer and a little shorter and a little shorter. And from the 20th until the 25th is when the sun god had his birthday. There's about 5 days there. That's when they had the Roman circus in that time, the celebration of the sun god's birthday at that time. And now you see what you got. What's happened? They've been conformed. Silly putty. Yeah. They said, make it the sun god. Take that. They take it, son of God. And the whole thing is pagan to begin with. And people on the streets with their high heel shoes, and they're twisting up and down the street, running into stores. And here the other day, my wife was telling me, someone said, I won't know what to get daddy. Said Brother Bram's going to get him brother's going to get him a quart of whiskey. And the other one said he was going to get him some champagne. And one said, well, I'm going to get him a poker set. Celebration of Christmas, pagan devil worship, all right. How many of your Christmas gifts to one another are godly and useful? From Gabriel's instruction to Daniel. And I understand that there'll come scoffers in the last day. I understand that there'll be nation against nation in the last day. I understand that there'll be tidal waves in the last days. I understand there'll be fearful sights like flying saucers in the heavens above. I mean, this is not the same quote as we read, but it's very similar. There'll be perplexity of time and distress amongst the people. I read that they'll go into organization and denomination and have confederation in the last days. I understand that women will bob off their hair in the last days. I understand that they'll wear shorts and walk with high-heeled shoes, tinkling as they go in the last days. I understand that morale will be very low in the last days. I understand the preachers will be false shepherds in the last days. They'll compromise and will not feed the people the word of God, but will go after creeds and other things. I understand there'll be a voice in the last days, etc. Okay, I understand these things happening. And from painted face Jezebel. Now, and so then Jezebel, when she got in there, she stomped that little high-heeled shoes she was wearing, and she said, now Ahab, I'll run this business. That's wrong to begin with. The man's the head of the house. All but in the United States, the woman's the head of the house here. This woman's country. The woman is a god in America. I predict that before the coming of the Lord, that a woman will be a great ruler in the United States. That's what Hillary Clinton was. All right? And Kamala tried, but she didn't make it. Because it's a woman's country. Started in Hollywood. That's how it run right out. And now you see a little old man coming down the street and a little Jezebel with a cigarette in her mouth puffing along like that. She says, well, she hollers, scat, and he jumps through the door. All right. And at nighttime, she's sitting there with them pretty fingernails till it looks like eagle claws. And have you ever seen them? I've seen women with fingernails out here. They look like eagle's claws, okay? Eating raw beef steak with it, standing out there. She won't wash the dishes because she's afraid the paint will come off. While her poor husband is scrubbing the dishes after washing like that, and her sitting in there sucking on a cigarette. And he's taking care of the baby, right? That's rank, isn't it? Sounds ridiculous, but it's the Bible and the truth. Just exactly right. How could you ever eat a pan of biscuits with a woman that made them with a big, long fingernails? Can you imagine all the gunk that they transfer from the fingernails? I could say something, but I won't. I mean, look, honestly, I will say, they ought to take off their fingernails when they use the restroom, all right? Because they're leaving feces and everything else on those fingernails. And then they'll let you style, you'll let them style your hair. Ooh. You get all fixed up and you have and have your manicure or ever what you call it, and wear the big high heel shoes and paint all like a circus and go down to the church and say, I'm just as good as they are. Oh, you miserable blind wretch. You don't know that even you're lost. Yeah. You think because you got a change of clothes and mister, because you can ride in a good car today and got a good job and the boss passed you on the back and you think you've got everything made, you shun church. You shouldn't go to a place where they went to the altar, you wouldn't go to a place where they went to to the altar and prayed. You're ashamed that your neighbors would see you. You poor hypocrite, don't you know that you're lost? You don't want Jesus. You ain't got no room for him. And in closing, I just have some more pictures to show you and some quotes. From Lamb of the Dove, he says, "And here the other night I went to a Pentecostal meeting, and the woman out on the platform with earrings looked like the devil had done put a saddle on them and used them for stirrups." And you look at this woman, you know, you see those in churches today, and women like this. Can you imagine? How many got there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They got seven pierces in their ears. Hanging up and down the place and dancing their little old dress on that looked like she'd been poured in there so tight the skin was on the outside. And you mean to tell me that's Christianity? According to the Bible, it isn't. That's right. Now, you know that's right. That's exactly right. Something happened. From Five Junctions, he said, "Now you become so cultinized, you become so organized, till each one of you..." I like that word, cultinized. I've never heard that before, but that's a good word. They're in a cult, so they're cultinized. Okay? Cultinized. "You become so cultinized, you become so organized, till each one of you, little petty organizations, believe that. This is now. And now I belong to this. I belong to that. Oh, you poor, miserable person. If that's all you've got to hang to, God be merciful to your sinful soul. The time has come when the clergyman has raised up to be some kind of an actors in a skit." Isn't that perfect description? These big televangelists, bunch of actors out there. What's the matter today? They don't have the old-fashioned religion they used to have. Today you got too much Hollywood evangelism. Some little sissified guy with manicured hair and stand up to a bunch of women with earrings hanging down like the devil's stirrups and enough paint on their face to paint a barn and bobbed hair. And that used to be a sin amongst you holiness people. What happened? You did run well, the Bible says. It's sin. That's right. But oh, you saintly women, you bob your hair and you do all these things. Now don't get angry. If it makes you sick, just take it anyhow. It'll do you. That's good. Cattle and pigs are often fitted, you know, with various types of rings and other body modifications for identification. These are not fit for humans. They are meant for behavioral control and safety purposes. And cattle ear tags are commonly used to identify animals. You know what? So is your body, your nose pierces. You know what that means? You've been conformed. You've been mashed into a bunch of silly putty. All right? With the placement and color indicating gender, birth, year, and other details. These tags can be part of electronic identification system like RFID. You notice a woman here. You notice a pig. It says a beautiful woman without that lacks discretion is like a pig with a gold ring in its snout. Well, that's gold. It's got to be worth something. I got it in my nose. You know, you're a pig is what you are. Scripture says the same thing on this picture over here. Woman with a ring in her nose like a pig. In addition to ear tags, some cattle have nose rings, which are primarily used on bulls to aid in control and safety. I wanted to so bad when I was a kid, when they started coming out, some of the guys started to come out with earrings. I wanted so bad to just pull it off. But I knew if I did, I'd get in trouble. But I'm sure you all think the same thing, you know. In addition to ear tags, some cattle have nose rings, which are primarily used on bulls to aid in control and safety, as the nasal septum is a sensitive area, and the ring allows handlers to guide the animal by applying pressure. While nose rings are more common on bulls, so you see a woman with a bull, she's trying to act like a bull. They can also be used on female cattle in specific situations, such as preventing unwanted nursing behavior. All right, so we see all these animals with rings in their nose. From beliefs out this, a brother, not a woman, don't let this hurt you. But see, But she was painted like I don't know what. Two big earrings hanging down like that. You know where it comes from? It comes from Africa. It comes from Africa. You know, I've got pictures. I don't know if I got them in here, but they got big discs in their mouth. They want their lips to be puffy. Just like women do. They get Botox. They're trying to do what the Africans do, okay? And the Africans are doing it because of culture. They're heathen culture, all right? Not the Christian Africans. I'm talking about heathens. But like the devil is using her neck for a saddle. You see the devil here? I don't know if you can see that picture. It's too dark. Let me see here if I can see it. Yeah, you can see the devil over her shoulders there. Well, I went to Grok and said, give me a picture of the devil riding a woman with his feet through her earrings. And I did it about 10 times and he couldn't get it right. But anyway, so you got the devil hanging on the woman. Grok shows the devil holding onto her earrings like stirring the horse, okay? And I said, do you mean that's the preacher's wife? And he said, yes. And I said, is she a saint? Said, yes. I said, she looks more like a haint to me instead of a saint sitting there like that. From the ministry of Christ. So after the preaching service that Sunday afternoon, I walked back there and she had on about enough clothes that you could put in an aspirin box. And she come and she had on a pair of specs on a stick, holding them out like the, you know, remember the they'd have their little specs on, you know, how do you do, you know. Now you're good and well, that nobody could see through specs that far away from her like that, holding it out in like that. And here she come with her head like that, looking through those speckles, bracelets all up and down her arms and earrings down like stirrups on the devil's saddle. You show this woman here, you know, the other day I was in a store and I saw a man walk in and he had earrings like, big. I could have put my finger through the earring, big round wood earrings. I thought, even wood, that's get infected. They're just mental. Start walking down through there like that with them specs over their eyes. And she said, are you Dr. Branham? I said, no, ma'am. I said, I'm Brother Branham. She said, well, Dr. Branham, I'm charmed to meet you. That big fat hand up like that. And I grabbed it and I told her, get it down here so I will know you when I see you again. She put her hand up there for him to kiss it. And he grabbed it and said, move it. You look at that heathens there. You see the picture of that man's got horns on his ears? I mean, you see the woman here with, I think she's trying to be a platypus. Okay. Finally, in closing, from the resurrection of Lazarus, and here come a woman through there with just about enough clothes on to wad a musket shotgun. She had earrings hanging plumb down like this. Looked like the devil had been using her neck for a saddle and using them for stirrups. He rode her all the way, all over hell anyhow. That's right. And so we have a couple pictures of the devil here. He's whispering in her ears. And the devil here with his stirrups in his hand. And I didn't make those. Those were online. But that's what it's all about. I hope I was a doting old grandfather enough that you don't get so mad at me, but and I don't really care because I'm not your granddaughter anyway, so I mean, I'm not your grandfather, but I just want you to know, if you're going to try to make it without holiness, you won't even see God. You'll never see God. So, and you can't get holiness. You got to get the Holy Ghost who makes you holy. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. And we know that the rapture will come very soon. We don't know when. But, you know, Lord, if we're not ready, we're not going to be there. So I pray that we would just start taking inventory every day. And because Brother Brown said the rapture should have already taken place. But he said God is waiting on the bride. She's not ready. And so if he's still waiting on us, we're not ready. All of us, we're not ready. And I pray that we get ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.